Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melbourne and broadcast through the Community Radio Network. It's always a pleasure to bring you through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and this is Listen to Older Voices and part one of a three-part program featuring the life and times of 92-year-old Marie Earle. Although born in the Depression years, her family didn't suffer from the Depression as many other families did because her father was a butcher and owned his own business. We share in many stories of what life was like in pre-World War II Australia, as seen through the eyes of a young girl. We learn of how her family moved into a large house with her mother's sister and her family, and how life was so wonderful for Marie. We learn a lot about the family's business and how Marie worked in the butcher's shop, but still had to help at home as well. It wasn't all work for Marie, and as she grew up, she loved going to ice skating and to the movies. There's so much to hear and so much to learn, so let's make a start. Here I am, talking with Marie. Marie, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me into your home. Could I start by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
I was born on the 7th of February 1926 in private hospital in Yarraville.
So you're a Yarraville girl right from the beginning.
I was born in Yarraville, yes.
My goodness me. 1926, that would have been close to the Depression years, wouldn't it?
Yes. Mm.
Do you have any memories at all of that period? Was it?
Well, Dad and Mum went into business in about 29, I think.
Right.
And into a butcher shop in Somerville Road.
Oh, okay.
And I can remember I had shoes and I had dresses and I think my mother gave a dress to one of the children at school. And going to Mass on Sunday, I must have seen it and I got into terrible trouble. I said, that's my dress. Oh.
So Mum had given it to the girl because they were to help them because they were really struggling.
So I got into trouble about that.
Funny how those things stick in your mind, isn't it? Yes. Would they be amongst your earliest memories?
The Depression, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, people were, there were a terrible lot of people who didn't have anything. And we did.
Because you were your father.
My dad bought a car in when I was six.
Goodness.
And Mum drove. Mum was the only driver. Or there would have been two ladies in Yarraville who drove a car, because there weren't many cars.
Of course not, no.
And, of course, being in the shop and having the car, if anybody broke their arm or anything, well, they'd come down to Mum and she'd drive me to the hospital and that sort of thing.
What a lovely lady she was.
She was, yes.
What do you remember about your mum? What sort of woman was she?
Oh, very pretty lady. And I can remember, you know, we would go out on a Sunday for a drive, Dad. There'd be golf courses, you know, in Ringwood or somewhere like that. And coming home, Mum would always get into trouble at the Flinders Street, you know, in the city.
Yes.
But she was such a pretty lady that policemen would just drive her on, wave her on. Yes, she was a very nice lady. Mm.
What about Dad? What sort of man was your father?
Well, Dad was a butcher and not, I don't know whether you know any butchers these days, but they all seem to be very cheeky or what, but Dad never was. He wasn't ever a cheeky. He was a butcher who you asked him for a pound of sausages or a pound of chops or whatever and rump steak or whatever. He cut it for you and that was that. He let Mum do all the
socialing, yes.
But of course, a butcher shop in those days was different altogether because it was your community.
Yes.
And then I worked in the shop from about, well, the war came along, and that's when I went into the shop because I was at school, and Mum said, you know, I need a bit of help at home, so I left school when I was about 15, I think. And then,
okay, just that's a big jump from being a little girl to 15.
Yes.
Tell us about your early school years. Did you enjoy school?
Oh, no, I was a bit of a... good at skipping, good at talking. Rather cheeky. I did have a terrible time. There was a lady who had a milk bar, you know, mm-hmm. right near the shop, right near the school. So all those cheeky kids, you know, well, Mummy, which fell in the ditch, picked up a sixpence and thought she was rich, was singing to her. And, of course, the only child that the lady recognised was the butcher's daughter.
Of course.
So she got into terrible trouble.
Oh, dear.
And, of course, I started school very young because, see, I was three when Mum went into the shop. And by four and a half, she'd managed to get me into school.
At
school at four and a half. And of course, once I got into trouble and they cornered me, well, I came out fighting, you see. And then I would think the nuns have thought, oh, well, you know, we'll have a bit of fun with this. So in the finish, I said to the priest came along. My sister came along, my sister who was 6 years older than me, came along and she burst into tears when she saw me, you know, carrying on because I'd got into trouble.
Oh.
And in the finish I said, and my father, he's got a great big axe and he'll great big chopper and he'll chop your heads off.
That wouldn't have gone down well with the nuns, would it? Or did they have a sense of humour?
I think they must have. I think they probably went home and had a laugh about the whole thing. Well, wouldn't you? You know, it's only a kid.
That's true. That's true.
And then another time I got into trouble and I thought this time, oh, I am, you know, this really is over the fence. So I go home. We always had lunch at the shop, which was, of course, not diagonally across the road from the school.
Right.
So go to the shop to having the lunch and I'm complaining and complaining about sister smacking me and I didn't deserve to be smacked and all this sort of thing. So in the finish, Dad wrote me a note. So I go back to school and I hand sister the note. That's all beautifully written. My father had a very beautiful hand, you know. I found out donkey's years later what was in that note. It was, thank you, sister, for caning Marie. Give her some more. John, yours sincerely, John William Houghton.
Oh.
How's that? What would happen today?
Oh, indeed. My goodness, that'd be all over the news. But it was pretty
it was a
strict
different
lifestyle
day.
In
very
those days,
different,
wasn't
very
it?
Very different. Well, yes. Sister had later on, in the later in the merit grade, she had 70 children. She sent 70
huge.
Children for their merit and 68 passed.
That's a credit to her, isn't
wonderful.
It?
Wonderful. Those nuns were absolutely dedicated.
Were there any topics or subjects in school that you did enjoy?
I don't know.
Or was it a case of you were just glad to get out when
yes,
it happened?
Yes, because you had a mixed class. It was boys and girls. And
different and ages, I gather,
that,
too.
Yeah. And I wasn't that thrilled about school ever.
Right. And this is Listen to Older Voices. Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Marie Earle. And Marie is recalling stories from her early years. What about social life as a young girl? What sort of things did you do to...
What age?
Oh, as a young girl at school.
Oh, a young girl at school. Well, of course, by this time, we had the shop in Yarraville and we lived in Millers Road, Brooklyn.
Right.
Mum and Dad built a house there when I was 15 months old.
Oh, goodness, okay.
We first lived on... Have you ever heard of the arsenic site in Yarraville?
Oh, yes.
Well, yes. I lived on the arsenic site.
Goodness me.
For the first 15 months of my life.
Wow. Okay.
Well, there was a beautiful house, Williamstown Road, on the corner of Castle Street. Coles is there now. And there was a beautiful house there, and Lego's was there, this big place, you know. And it had, how many bedrooms? One, two, three, four bedrooms. Huge lounge, a great big kitchen, a fire. And we all lived there, Mum and Dad and Auntie and Uncle Jack. And my grandmother, my mum's mother, and seven children.
Goodness.
We lived there happily in that house. It was a beautiful house. We had my sister's wedding. She had a wedding in during the war. We had the wedding, the reception, breakfast, in the lounge room of that big house. It was a beautiful house.
It obviously has a lot of wonderful memories for you.
Oh, lovely, yes. And as a kid, Uncle Jack had a lovely garage, or shed, I suppose you'd call it. No, didn't have a car in it. And he used to do wood turning.
All right.
And I would ride the bike, pedal the bike, and he would do the wood turning.
That turned the lathe,
yes,
did it? Oh, my
it
goodness.
Was
oh, you were a fit girl.
Yeah. That was only as a, I suppose I'd been 8 or 9 or
right.
something. And, oh, I just loved that Uncle Jack. You know, he was a different man from my father. My father wasn't a terribly demonstrative fellow, but you never went into Uncle Jack's place without kissing him hello and kissing him goodbye. He was one of those
yes,
men.
Yes.
Different.
Very affectionate.
Mm.
Right.
And I've written there what a privilege it was to have had that sort of communication with a human being, and it doesn't happen very often that
no.
you love a person absolutely.
Yes.
And I did this.
Yeah, without conditions
yes,
on it.
No condition whatsoever.
Yes. You mentioned seven children. Your mum and dad had seven children?
No, mum had four, and Auntie and Uncle Jack had
they
three.
They had three. So all sisters do you have?
No, I had three sisters and then two cousins in it, and there was one boy amongst the seven.
Wow, he was a bit run out, wasn't he?
Oh, we adored him, yes.
So you were never short for playmates then?
No. And then usually once Mum and Dad got settled in the butcher shop, they were great bridge players.
Right.
And so were Auntie and Uncle Jack. How we happened to live in the house at the
Coles.
Legos
yeah.
place.
Oh, Legos, yeah.
Mum and Dad were renting.
Right.
And, of course, renting, you'll never get your own home. And Uncle Jack got the maintenance man job at Legos. And that went with the house, went with the job. Electricity, a telephone, everything.
All thrown in. Wow.
So Auntie Dolly said to her sister, my mother, well, come and live with us and you'll be able to save up to get a block of land and build a house, which they did. And we lived happily in that house. It, you know, the whole lot of, well, there were two women. They weren't working.
No.
So there's two women to do the house and cooking and two men to go to work.
So life was good.
Oh, it was lovely, yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic in that house. And when everybody, you know, as soon as the new people come into Yarraville, the first thing they want to do is get rid of the arsenic site, you know, because arsenic, terrible.
Yeah. You must have played amongst it then.
Uncle Jack had a beautiful vegetable garden at the side of the house. There was plenty of land there, like tons of land.
Oh, yes.
There was an orchard in...
Yeah. It was all open in those days, wasn't it?
Yes. There was an orchard in the back sort of yard of the place. And on this side, on the Castle Street side, Uncle Jack had his vegetable garden because he was, one of those people that was always pottering with one thing or the other. And Mavis, my cousin, and I would pick up the carrots out of the ground, put them under the tap and eat them. All of this business with the arsenic site.
Well, you've survived very well.
I could never understand it because my cousins...
Yes.
My cousin, she lived till she was 80-something, yes, this one, yeah.
That's really interesting. That's fascinating. Yes.
So I could never understand this business with, you know, well, of course it had to go because, well, look at it.
Just
now.
Not acceptable.
Yes. Everything, like all the industries going out of here because, you know, it's just a place to live, isn't it? In those days, in Somerville Road, going back to the Depression days, the people who worked all here in Yarraville and Newport, they all lived here.
Mm.
There were lovely homes in Somerville Road that, you know, were the managers of Cummings and the bottle works, which we called Australian Glass, and they lived because, you know, there wasn't the transport, I suppose.
No, that's right. Mm. So it was a very desirable area for
them.
Yes.
Yes. So from the gates, there were the gates there where you go over the overpass, in those days the gates.
We're talking about the railway gates, aren't we?
The railway gates, yes. My mother, this is during the war, my sister was having a baby and Mum said, oh, well, you go to... She was going here to the nursing home where I was born for my nieces to be born. And Mum said, oh, you go, you know, you take Irene to the hospital. And the gates were closed and Irene's just about having the baby. So I wind down the window and I said, could you open the gates? Mr. Miller once more, you know, Mr. Miller from the dairy farm and that was on the corner of Geelong Road and Miller's Road.
Right.
And he had a car, so we just went over to Mr. Miller and he took Irene to the hospital and we just got there. The train came along with the gates open and that was a day and a half, that one.
Oh, I bet it was. You mentioned this all happened during the war years. You would have been old enough to have understood what was going on then, wouldn't you?
Yes. Look, Dad had an apprentice and he was taken away during the war.
Yes.
So then there was nobody left to help Mum and Dad, so that's when I had to leave school and go in.
Yes.
And I was a butcher's girl. I used to deliver the meat on my bike to where there were some of the customers that we kept, like the ones that we delivered to, the ones that sort of perhaps older or, you know, frailer, that we delivered to those sorts of people. And I did that. And I used to make the sausages and put the meat through the grinder machine, you know, to make the sausages.
Yes.
I never made the sausages, but I made the minced steak
Yes. Did you enjoy working with your dad in his shop?
Oh, yes. And that was the other thing, was then I'd go home and start on the dinner for Mum because she had the car.
Yes.
And she would come home, I'd have the dinner cooked when she got home.
So it was a busy life for you as a young girl.
Oh, yes, especially during the wartime.
Indeed.
But then you're young.
Yes. We can still remember then, can't we?
And there's dances to go to and there's
dances.
All those sorts
Did you
of
go to the... Because dancing was very popular,
oh,
wasn't it?
Oh, very, yes, all Saturday night. And ice skating.
Oh, okay. Dances first, then let's go to the ice skating next.
No, ice skating first.
Ice skating first?
Oh,
you're the boss. Ice skating first.
Well,
whereabouts?
At the Glaciarium. And Monday nights was the cheap night. And Dorothy Miller, who was like, when we shifted to Miller's Road, in the new house, well, then there was only one family that was the Millers on
course.
The corner, you see.
Yes.
So they played a big part in our lives. My friend Dorothy, well, she's Dorothy Britt now, but she's Dorothy Miller, is still my friend, and we're both 90.
Wow.
We're both
what
the same
a journey
age.
You two have been on.
There's
there,
5 days between us.
Oh, goodness. Well, that was
still,
a friendship meant to be.
That's right.
Yes. So you'd go ice skating together, would
we
you?
We went ice skating on a Monday night.
Right.
And then that was during the war. Now then, perhaps come 16, and we're down here at the dance every Saturday night.
Right.
And that's where Dorothy met her husband, and they will have their 70th wedding anniversary on the 28th of, or I think it's the 28th of October.
How fantastic.
She invited me to the family dinner, you know, at the Yarraville Club. But, she looked at this boy and she said, I'm going to get him. And she did.
She did. Good for
and,
her.
And she picked the right one because he's looking after her.
Yes.
And Mum, she's the same as me. Not terribly too good on the walking and that sort of thing.
Well, that comes with the age,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Yes. In terms of the dancing, did you have a favourite style of dancing?
Oh, yes. And foxtrotting and the, what was it? Modern waltz, foxtrot. And we had a band every night.
A proper band?
A proper band. People don't know what they miss out on.
Oh,
today.
They don't, do they? Mm. No. So you said it was a big band. Was that just piano and drums?
No, there was piano and trumpet, saxophone, and like a Glenn Miller band.
That is a real band. So the sound would have been fabulous.
Yes, wonderful. Absolutely fantastic.
What about the dance hall itself? Was that good?
Oh, beautiful. Huge, big place. And the floor was like glass. It was just fantastic.
Good for gliding across.
And I had Saturday night dances. And for some reason or other, I was never allowed to go to the Sunday night dance. And that was just as packed as the Saturday night dance.
Yes.
But Mum didn't agree with Sunday night dancing.
Listen to older voices, the magic of memories.
So how would you get home from the dances?
Well, there was the tram from right there at the Gayman Street and Somerville Road.
Okay.
And that went to Footscray, and then we caught the bus home, and the last bus went at 12, or after the last train, it would be 20 past 12, I suppose. So then we would catch the tram from the parish to Footscray. Then when we got off at Footscray, there was Charlie's Hamburgers.
Oh. To die for?
Did he do a roaring train?
I bet he did.
Oh, it was lovely. Mm. And all of this, and you asked about the war, and being, well, I was 13 when the war broke out, wasn't
yes.
I? 1939. Yes. Then you're young. And there was a while before you started reading the headlines of the paper and had no idea. It was just a glorious time. You went into town. There were Americans and soldiers and sailors and airmen. They were
How exciting.
Everywhere.
Yes.
It was a wonderful time for a young girl.
Yes.
And I meet English people now. It wasn't until I joined U3A as a retired person that I met English people who had gone through the war and had absolutely no idea how close we came
really?
To losing that war. Not until you talk to people who were there that you get an idea of the, how terrible it was.
Mm.
But here in Australia, young, 17, 18, was a wonderful time.
Join Marie and I next week for more of her story, which includes how a searchlight was set up near the family home during World War II, and how this led to her meeting and eventually marrying a young soldier, Gerard Earle. Next week, part two of the story of Marie Earle on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Community Radio Network.